chapter, the last chapter in the book of John. And I'm using today, on my last day, I'm using the new King James Version of from Dr. David Jeremiah Bible. It's something special I want to share with you, so that's why I got the new King James Version this morning. Okay, so let us pray and ask God to anoint this message that it would land on fertile ground in our hearts, and that God, Holy Spirit, will open our understanding. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We remind it, Father, there's only two things that's going to sustain for eternity. Is souls of men and women and the word of God. So, Father, let us hide the word of God in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. And help us to be in conformity more and more as we see the day of Jesus Christ is approaching, and be just like him, to be more like Christ, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Kristen, Grace, friends, this message drives home a candidate that from a man named Peter. And as you see here in the seventh verse of the 21st chapter, goes like this. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on out his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and altogether there were so many, and the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" Knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. The Bible says, this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he had raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said unto him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I said to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke in signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Amen. So the name is Simon Peter. And this is about a man God can use whether we believe it or not. If he can use me, if he can use you, it's a privilege, it's a miracle. You know, and the background of this story or narrative, prior to the cross, the resurrection of Christ, Peter, you know, had denied Jesus 3 times. You remember the story. And Jesus, and as Jesus brought before the high priest Caiaphas, and the servants noticed Peter, and he denied his Savior. Have you ever denied Jesus Christ? Have I ever denied Jesus Christ? Yes. And Peter, cowardness, the narrative shares, stood there warming himself from the fires of coal from his third denial. And you know, the scripture says in John 18:27, none of the servants of the high priest being his kinsmen, and he recognized this, whose ear Peter cut off, that he was that violent, cut off the man's ear. And then he said, did I see you in the garden with Jesus? After third denial, the cock crew, in the last chapter of John 21 that we're going to be sharing these few moments is about the post-resurrection of Jesus Christ. Very little is said about the segment of Jesus Christ in his glorified body. We hear a lot about the burial of Christ, the death of Christ, and the very little about the post-resurrection, preparatory or prior to his ascension. You don't hear too much about that. Jesus in this narrative is exhibiting himself to his disciples from failures. And prior to almost, 40 days before his ascension, that he's going back to the Father's house. And again, Jesus has a resurrected body, immortality body. And, you know, which is, he's able to walk through walls and doors and all the rest, being omniscient. So we see here in our verse here, verse 7, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, who was that beloved disciple? John. Thank you, class. Oh, we in church, ain't we? Okay. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put out his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. This was out of respect. And we see here, after the disciples had answered to, presumably this was a stranger, because Jesus asked them, have you caught any fish? And it was at night, perhaps, and they didn't know. They couldn't identify with Jesus Christ. And they said, no, we haven't caught anything. And this was at the shore of the sea here. And the answer was no. But here Jesus performs a miracle. You know, Jesus still performed miracles. Did you know that? Because I'm one, okay, and you one. Of course, knowing now it was the Lord, they found out here in our text. It was a night of defeat, of darkness, and darkness always indicates one is not walking with the Lord. One is not walking with the Lord. You're not following. You're not in the light. when you experience all these difficulties and blighted problems in your life, you're not in the light. But when Christ appeared on the scene, the light began to shine with these disciples. And friends, this is the application for us. We must always remember God's blessing us when we obey him and when we abide in Jesus Christ. That's a life lesson for us. We're going to see. Because the Bible says, without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. And that's throughout the whole scripture. That's how they had victory in the Old Testament. Fighting the wars with the enemies throughout the Bibles is the battle is the Lord's. And he fights our battles. And without him, Christian friend, we can do nothing. You know, because Peter had denied Christ publicly, he had to make it right publicly. And the Lord saw to that. And Christ dealt with his sin. Christ deals with our sin. And the problem with Peter, the issue was denial. And the issue was, do you really love me? Do you really love me? Jesus had asked. And to turn the question around to us, do we really love Jesus Christ? Do we have a lesser love to our family, our kids, and all the rest than to Jesus? So Christ is now directing them and instructing them to do something different, to obey. Christ is about to perform his last miracle shortly before his ascension. He told them that to cast out their net on the right side. And I'm going to stop there for a second. The right side. You got a right side and you got a left side. The thief on the cross, it was two of them. One was on the left side, one was on the right side. And it's always symbolic to be on the right side. We are on the right side. You are on the right side if you're born again. That's the side to be on. It's the right side. Now, if you're on the left side, you need to keep praying and repent and confess to get on the right side. So they got on the right side of the ship, and Jesus said, you shall find. You shall find. It was a miracle. And at many occasions before, the net would break and the fish would be lost, but now the net is strong. It's strong as the gospel of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how strong and fortified that net was that time. Is that beautiful? And he don't lose any. They did not lose any fish. And the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you would not lose not one fish or one soul when you connect with Jesus Christ. Because he will give you the empowerment not to lose one fish, not to lose one soul. All power, all authority is given to Jesus Christ. And so no sooner that they drag the net to share with the other disciples a full catch, in verse 9, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish lay thereon and bread. And you remember bread, manna, Jesus feeding the 5,000. You know the story. This is why Jesus is the bread of life. Right. So Jesus commanded them to bring the fish which ye have not caught, about how many? At least about 150 thrice fish. The Lord always used what people have as the basis for his miracles. They had forgotten the Lord's words, "For without me ye can do nothing." And this is something he's doing here and in the past. The disciples are fishing and catching nothing. The Lord give them a harvest of fish at this juncture. And, you know, they were familiar with Christ's miracles. Remember that Cana, the water pots, and doing miracles and miracles? This was no exception. You remember he asked Moses, "What was in your hand?" You remember that story? Moses said it was a rod. And then God performed his miracles. And then and from a rod to a servant, and back from a servant back to a rod, that they may believe. The same concept. Jesus was performing this miracle that they would believe and be more conducive, more in strength, with strength and power and authority in Jesus' name as disciples. So this is not more mere just a sonship relationship with Jesus Christ. This is discipleship of Jesus Christ. A lot of us haven't had the process of going from sonship to discipleship or daughtership in some cases. And there were baskets of food left over from the feed. And that, you know, as to finish that story of 5,000 in abundance. Paul says in Philippians, "But my God shall supply all your needs." Listen, he supplies all our needs, Christian friends, according to his riches. So there's no need to even think about going to the corner store and playing a number or a lottery. According, you're rich. Yeah. How rich I am. So he promised us by the glory of Jesus Christ, and they that they may have life and life more abundantly. This is what he does for us as followers. Benefits of just following Jesus Christ. So someone said, little is much when the Lord is in it. With this miracle and all the abundance of fishes, not a single fish got away. And the lesson for Peter is that we try to win people and persuade them. I've done it. Attempting to lead them to the Lord. Persuade them to Christ, but our nets break sometimes and we get discouraged. Why are they not believing? Why are they not getting saved? Why are we not growing? You're fishing too shallow. You got a fisherman back there, our brother Watt Rogers. He'll show you all, he'll tell you how to fish. So we try to win people, but the nets break and some souls get away. This is why, look at verse 12. Jesus said unto them, "Come and eat breakfast." We shared that. I thought the man was taking my lesson away in Sunday school. Come and dine with me. Fellowship with me. This is what he wants us to do. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or woman hear my voice, I will come unto him and have what? Fellowship, a sup with him." Okay. Christ invites us to come and dine with him, have a little breakfast with Christ the Lord, and let him feed us with his word. Feasting on the word of God, this is what we need to do. Now, we come to the unique interview Jesus had with Simon, son of Jonah. So when he had let's look at verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, using his old name, Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these other disciples? Jesus is getting ready to restore Peter from all his failures, from all his anxieties, and to recommission him. This apostle was faltering. Have you ever been in that category? Faltering? Failing? Fumbling? Peter was there. Jesus needs our service, but he needs to get a hold of our attention and to bring us into harmony and to have us to abide in him for service. So three times our Lord, through interrogation, asked Simon Peter three times, and he responded three times, and to find them three times why you're still living in the world, the flesh, and the devil. So why three times? Because Peter denied Christ three times. He makes him affirm his devotion three times. Peter had somewhat lost his commission. He lost his commission to Christ. And so here at the little fire of coals in the courtyard, Peter never forget that catastrophe of the palace of the high priest the night Jesus was arrested. He denied him three times. Jesus saw the potential in Peter. Jesus sees the potential in us as well. And, you know, his brother Andrew brought him to the Lord. But Jesus has shared with Peter, you are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, Peter, you're going to be a stone. You're going to be a bedrock. You're not going to be the cornerstone, but you're going to be a stone for the church one day. And Christ, being omnipotent, he knew further down the road that he was going to turn the first century believers upside down as he was filled with the Holy Spirit and preaching the empowerment of the through the Holy Spirit, winning many, many souls for Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, you'll be a stone. In the Aramaic word, it means you'll be a rock man. In the Greek, it's Petrus. So the Lord reminds Peter who he is. He reminds us today who we are in Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors to them that love him. And he's going to do phenomenal things in the kingdom of God for God's glory. In essence, Peter, you will be a man to stand for something as Christ builds his church. The nation of Israel and Jewish people that had vastly rejected Christ as the Messiah. You're the man, Peter. So now Jesus is orchestrating and fabricating to be this soon-to-be church leader after Pentecost, and Christ sees something in Peter that Peter do not see in himself. And that's what he does for us. So the word, when he said, do you love me? Now, that's just a casual terminology. Just, yeah, Lord, I love you. Phileo. That's just casual love. And so the Greek definition of love is eros. And it says, I love you for what I can get out you or for self reasons. That was type of mushy type of love. And the second is, the third was, what he needed was agape. Because the first and the second definition is just about the same. But the third is agape, and it's the supreme love. We need the supreme love in our hearts of Jesus Christ. We need the love that John says, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the type of love you and I need today. Christ is saying, Peter, do you love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your might? Do you love me? Do you and I love Jesus Christ? And the first is a exhortation. Christ says, feed my lambs. This is what he's going to do for Peter. To feed Jesus' lambs. Be grazing. It means be grazing my small infant lambs. Feed them, the younger Christians. And the second was exhortation. Feed my sheep means to shepherd the sheep, shepherd or discipline, and in the older ones as well, when he says that, when he gave that second command. And then the third is exhortation, feed my sheep, grazing my sheep, and corrected them and discipline them and all the rest of the ramifications. Christ expects us to join in as an inherit of Christ to feed people the word of God as ministers of the gospel. He'll perform miracles in their lives. He'll draw the net of souls. He'll prepare souls for his kingdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, he that wins souls for Christ is wise. And every time an unbeliever is saved by God's grace, God is glorified, and the voices in heaven is saying, "In hallelujah." Therefore, the believers who desires to glorify God, who wants to honor God's supreme will, purpose, must share God's love for the lost world and to share his missions to redeem the lost to himself, someone said in a quote. You know, we as evangelicals, we must never be content having a nice, cozy fellowship setting. Convenience, if you may. Or an elaborate sound structure, preaching the curriculum, and a praise the Lord scheme. This is good in itself, perhaps. But God has been drawing humanity through repentance, not through vainglory and words that's inappropriate. So until that final judgment and will, God's will draw men back to himself and to restore the world that sin is corrupt to its fullest. And when sinners are saved, God is glorified. God wants glory out of our lives because the salvation through Jesus' cross cost something. It cost the sacrificial death of his own begotten son. So the Lord had to wind this message up. The Lord had to reboot Peter's life from denial to true discipleship. And what happens? Peter, preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wins 3,000 souls for the glory of God. And that's what it took Peter. What is it taking you and I to get the job done? To transform our spirituality. And what is it going to take? To wind this up, look at verse 18. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, Peter, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you wish. What is that saying? That's saying crucifixion. One day, Peter, God, Jesus being omniscient, he's saying, you're going to be crucified just like I was crucified. You're going to go somewhere where you ain't going to want to go because you're following Jesus Christ. And you will endure being crucified even upside down because you're following the way, the truth, and the life. So in closing, God has always taken the initiative for man's salvation and restoration. You remember we called Adam, where are you? To the last call in Revelations, the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the waters of life without cost, the Bible says. And to the fishermen of the souls of mankind, we must have the direction and blessing of the Lord. Warren Wiersbe said, in closing says, a fisherman catches living fish, but when he gets them, they die. A Christian witness seeks to catch dead fish, dead in their sins, dead in their tracks. And when he or she catches them, they are made alive. From dead fish to alive fish, they are made live, alive in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Isn't that a miracle? So what examples for us to follow as we seek to catch fish for Jesus? We are all fishers of men, and they are all around us. Every opportunity is around us. The Bible says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So go on your expedition. Go on your journey. Go on your mission and fish for the souls of mankind. If we were to obey his directions, we can catch many a fish. He that wins souls is wise. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that you give us failure exchange for optimum success and great opportunities because we are more than conquerors to them that love them, you. We thank you, Lord, for what thus saith the Lord. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be more than just having a devotional type of relationship with you and a sonship, but help us to be having a discipleship type of mentality. And remember that all authority is given unto you. And as we implement your authority and share lost mankind the facts that they're lost and that they need to be born again. Give us that insight. Give us that spirit of confidence, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother Holly.